TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Politically incorrect.
Correct. This is Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on TNT Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on where you are around the world. I'm Richard Carson. My friend Mike Tennessee is en route to Singapore, so you're stuck with me for the afternoon, but don't have to worry about that because I won't be saying much because we have a lady with us. We've had Elizabeth Hart on prior occasions. She describes herself as an independent researcher investigating products and conflicts of interest in vaccination policy. I'd go a little bit further than that and say without people like Elizabeth Hart in the world would be in a most parlous state. However, we do have Elizabeth Hart, and we have her. So welcome, Elizabeth. Great to see you. We can see you. The rest of the world can't, but we're looking forward to hearing from you, I can assure you. And
hi, Richard.
And just as an opening, there's a lot of things, and I'm going to let you run the show because you're very good at doing that, and you've got a lot to tell us all and range over any amount of topics. But just in the last week or so, I've noticed a lot of various governments or medical people or individuals recanting or making revelations about rather serious injuries. We had a young lady on the front of the Australian about a week and a bit ago. I noticed, and I know you're well aware right across it, the UK government's making a comment that under 50s don't need to have boosters now. What's your take on this? Well, to me, it looks like there's a bit of a collapse in the whole lies that we've been told for two and a bit years, but I'd love to hear your observation of the chaos that might be starting to consume the Visigoths of hell that we're dealing with.
Yeah, well, they're good words, actually, collapse and chaos. I'm shell-shocked by it all. I'm just like, what the heck? You know, particularly the stuff that's coming out now about the US DOD's been running the show and, this with Sacha Lepoyova and Catherine Watts been bringing out this sort of stuff. And it's like bewildering because we've endured this for 3 years now of this awakening of our own governments are our enemy. And this has been so, you know, if we've been invaded by forces from overseas and they're in there with their uniforms and they take, but this has been so shocking that our own governments have done this to us. I'm reeling from it. And I'm wondering when people are going to realise what's been done to us, and particularly the people who have been stuck with the needles without informed consent. I'm waiting for that to explode.
Well, we may be waiting a long time because there almost seems to be scales over people's eyes. They don't want to face up to the fact that they have been hoodwinked. Do you feel that that's something in the background there with people reluctant to say, yeah, I think I've been done over, or they don't even know yet?
Well, I think Australia is a special case in that people here have just been incredibly compliant. It's been astonishing. Now, whether that was to do with the fact that the borders were closed and there's this feeling like the virus was kept out and it's all been successful. And people don't realise that this whole thing has been a tissue of lies. A tissue of lies. I was looking at something just recently. There was an article in The Australian, I think it was yesterday, the Garvan Institute. Some paper has come out from people at the Garvan Institute saying that children are at risk of COVID and they need the COVID vaccines and what have you. And I was looking at this very critically and I was looking for the paper. So I went to the Garvan Institute website to have a look at it. And I found on there, in their news, that the Garvan Institute is involved in a universal vaccine that could bring an end to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is what the Garvan Institute is involved in. So if they're involved in developing a universal vaccine for COVID, they need a market, don't they? They have to beat up the fact that children will need this now. And also in this press release, it says, The COVID-19 pandemic has so far killed at least 15 million people globally. Well, that's a massive beat up from the actual figures on Statista is 6.7 million, and that's in 3 years. This is just unbelievable figures, that these figures are so small, and they were small at the beginning. In December 2020, the figures, the deaths attributed to COVID, 1.6 million deaths in a population then that was about 7.9 billion people, where about 59 million people be expected to die in a year. So when you think about that, 1.6 million deaths, on the back of that, they went completely over the top, batshit crazy, and did a vaccine response across the whole globe. This is what I want to, this is one of the things I'm pushing for now, that we need to go back to the beginning of this and to see how did this happen? Because it's absolutely insane.
But Elizabeth, I think that's 0.02 of 1%, by the way. It's not that.
Well, yeah, it's pretty low.
It might be 0.2, it's one or the other, but it's not 1%. But even in that, there are a lot of those deaths were caused by the absolutely and utterly draconian measures taken to lock people up and give them no help at all until the pneumonia that they got from this cold or whatever you want to call it, it got so bad. And then they succumbed to pneumonia. A lot of people die of pneumonia, there's no doubt about it. But I mean, I think one of the worst efforts of the whole dreadful performance was actually managed by that dreadful fellow in Victoria, Premier Andrews, when he locked up some 800 people died, and they were just summarily locked up in prison in those towers with no hope of any help. And our wonderful TGA, of course, banned the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, both of which, when they were put into use in Uttar Pradesh in India, stopped deaths within days. But we weren't allowed to use it. The doctors were punished if they spoke about it. So at every level, the Australian, I don't know what you call them, criminals, let us down. So, and the numbers and then the extrapolation of these injuries has been very poorly managed as well. You know, it's been, it's almost sleight of hand in how they've come up with certain numbers. And you've just mentioned a few, but I don't know that they're all correct or anything else. I'm sure people have died, but they've died because of poor administration and poor management, not necessarily of catching, other than if they were, you know, seriously ill in the first place. I know where the deaths have been from being jabbed. I don't know about anything else. I know enough. I don't know that many people, but I know people who've died because they've been injected.
Well, I think, but I really do feel we've got to go back to the beginning of this because, in my opinion, there should never have been a vaccine solution. That's what we've got to question. Why was a vaccine ever put in place for this? Because they knew from the beginning it wasn't impacting on most people. They knew this from the very beginning. So how did this happen? When you think that in January 2020, they were already running the vaccine solution. AstraZeneca, I'm looking at that particularly in the UK. Now, January 2020, what was happening that justified them going ahead with this response? There would have been hardly any deaths. And yet it was like they were waiting for an excuse. It's like the COVID was just an excuse for what they really wanted to do. But what they've been wanting to do for years was implement the vaccine passports, the digital ID. That's what was really going on here. And then the draconian thing of making people have medical interventions on demand. When the government says you will have a medical intervention, you will do it. This is just the most incredible power grab. And people, we need to go back and look at this and see how this was justifiable. Because also looking at the Ferguson report, so Neil Ferguson, who came up with the modelling that was used to justify all this sort of caper going on, that was published in March 2020. And it's very interesting that that report was comparing what was happening to the 1918 influenza pandemic. Why did they pick 1918? Why didn't they pick a more recent one, you know, in 2009 or 1976? Why did they pick 1918, which supposedly 50 or 100 million deaths given, you know, were attributed to that, give or take 50 million. Why? And so they, it was like they were just trying to find an excuse to beat this up and do what they wanted to do, which was bring in the social distancing, suppress people. And as the report said, Ferguson's report said, it was about suppressing people until a vaccine becomes available. It was all about the vaccine.
Now, in amongst all of that, you had massive denial of liberty. Astronomical. Yeah. I mean, I refuse to bow down to the wishes of the government or health officials or any one of the rubbishy people that were expanding and expounding things. But what amazes me, all the evidence is there now that's absolutely and utterly destroying what's been done. But we still have various people pushing and shoving, especially here in Australia, via our mainstream television programs. The ABC radio seems to be still on about it. And all sorts of, I don't know what you call them, people are trotted out to trying to re-intensify the fear or the fright within the community. I don't know how it's going. I'm getting the impression that people are starting to say, I'm sorry, we're not interested, but I hope I'm right there. Your feelings on that?
Well, I'm finding people are really operating normally. You know, you're around people, distancing and all this sort of rubbish isn't really happening. These odd person with a mask.
Yep.
But yes, there are certain parties who are desperate to keep this alive. On 7:30 the other night, Brendan Crabb was on. He's from
I see something about him. Tell us a bit about the guy, because he's obviously a bit of a chameleon. He claims X and is actually Y. Well, give him a bit of a serve, if you don't mind.
Well, Brendan Crabb, he's the director of the Burnett Institute.
Right.
And they're involved with vaccine research with Moderna.
So, of course,
they would have a conflict of interest in promoting jabs, wouldn't they? You know, if the Moderna is going up, supposed to be putting out 100 million doses of respiratory disease, injections. So they want a market, don't they? So this has to be this beating up of the market. Same as Paul Griffin is always out there, associate professor, whatever, Paul Griffin. Seldom disclosing he's a member of the Immunisation Coalition, which is funded by the vaccine industry, organisations such as Pfizer and Moderna and others, not disclosing that. And he's beating up the vaccine industry, the virus and the vaccine and what have you.
Yeah.
And same as Raina McIntyre. She's with Immunisation Coalition. She's also with this group called AusSage, which is supposed to be a group of independent experts.
Yeah.
Now, what we have to start pushing back on here is these professors and these doctors who've taken it upon themselves to tell us what to do, to dictate. They haven't got the authority to do this. And yet they are putting out that we have to do what they say. And people have to be alerted to this and awakened to this. They're impressed by these titles, professor, doctor, that. Mm. And we now have to demand that they stop doing this, because they're really using their influence, their status. And yet when you dig into these people, what do they actually know about anything, about mRNA vaccines or anything, you know? But they just use this to push their barrow, and it could be influencing policy, which is affecting people and affecting people's bodily integrity by these mandates and what have you.
Well, in amongst all of that, you bump into the ignorance of the majority of our state and federal elected politicians. Now, the longer I've been involved in the background of reading and hearing what people like yourself have said and other gentlemen and women in Australia and around the world, the rulers absolutely know nothing, or they're choosing to be, I have to think they're on the payroll of the pharmaceutical companies, or there's backshe or something going on, because it's a complete and utter travesty that they can't know what you know or what other people who appear on TNT radio know. There's an awful lot of information available that says don't vaccinate people, they don't work. I think Mr. Gates said the other day they don't work. Am I right?
He said himself.
So, you know, this
while he was also touting the next pandemic, which is going to be worse and it's going to be man-made, and that man is unbelievable.
Is he psychotic? I would call him, or something. Well, there's something wrong there. But the point I'm making here, Elizabeth, is we have a lot of people who are probably calling the tune, and most of them appear to either know nothing or choose to lie to us. I mean, you would be aware of Professor Steele, as I am. He says categorically to me, you're not going to fix your immunomucosal system by putting an injection into your arm. It doesn't work. So we've really got to go down something like an atomizer or something carefully after absolutely, rigorous research to come up with the right thing to try to work. I mean, I used to have the flu injections. I then got the flu. So I've come to the conclusion whatever they did not work. And now, and we've just had the Omicron variant last February, I think it was, came along. The majority were vaccinated, apparently, didn't work. So the evidence is there for 99% of people to see the crap doesn't work. Don't touch it and don't take any notice of those advocating, because they've all got, as you've just pointed out to me, a vested interest in remuneration. There's nothing else can be said about it.
Yeah, well, people should be told, to look after their immune systems. We have these supposed health officers.
Just hold your thought there. I keep forgetting we've got to duck off for a quick break. So
okay.
We'll come back to that rubbish, and I'll let the studio take over for a couple of minutes.
TNT Radio's Mike Ryan.
A Qantas flight to Sydney has returned to Fiji as a precaution after pilots received a report of fumes in the cabin. Now, that's days after a service from Auckland issued a mayday following an engine shutdown. Forget the exhaust. Where's the engine? Oh, there it is, plummeting to earth. The Qantas has now had its sixth incident. It's just over a week after another plane was forced to turn back following issues surrounding paperwork.
Where are we going? I don't know. Where's our map?
I mean, what's wrong with Qantas? I mean, Qantas, the Australian airline, is no more. Now, Alan Joyce, who continues to get enormous chunks of money every year because he's doing such a wonderful, wonderful job. Now, if I ran a business like that, some say maybe I do, but if I ran a business like that and all my planes are turning around because they weren't looked after well enough, or they forgot the paperwork, first of all, the buck stops at the top, doesn't it? So why is Alan Joyce still there?
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Morticians are reporting that vaccine deaths show thick, fibrous clots that don't easily degrade. Stop the jab and save lives. The COVID vaccine does not work. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And I'm Richard Carson. The show is politically incorrect, and we don't muck around with being politically incorrect or incorrect on other matters. But the lady I'm talking with today, Elizabeth Hart, I think has been more correct than 98% of the gentlemen and ladies that have been trying to coerce us into being jabbed, locked up, masked up, and anything else for that matter. So, Elizabeth, just before I broke into your dissertation a moment ago, you were about to give someone a bit of a serve, I think, or an observation on something or other.
It was the health officers, all these health officers.
Thank you. Yeah, they're wonderful fellows. Way you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they did seem to go out of their way to do everything to make people sick, depressed, locked up. It was the worst possible response they could have done. It's just grim. But you were talking previously about the politics that our representatives, in inverted commas, and this is what we've really got to look at here. These political parties, our political system is just really rotten now. Mm. We've been completely taken for granted. They have these elections, and the parties just rotate over, and we have these elections and we go and vote and what have you. And then they get into power and then we're forgotten and ignored. There's no accountability. And it's like these people are reporting to these puppet masters, the globalists or whatever,
yep,
and not to us. This whole system is trashed now. I wonder about the fact that we're supposed to have compulsory voting, which is actually it's compulsory to turn up at the booth and get your name stuck off. But this idea of compulsory voting is almost like people are being made to vote for their own demise. in that people think they have to vote, and they're voting for these parties who they think, the Liberal Party, they think is the Liberal Party, which obviously wasn't during COVID. The Labour Party is supposed to be representing the worker and what have you. These parties are no longer what was marked on the tin. They're misrepresenting themselves to us, and they're putting in place things that, and they're not being accountable. And this idea of informed consent, which we have now with the medical interventions, I feel that we've got to broaden this out into society in general. We are not giving informed consent to so much of what is going on. So many things are being put in place that are affecting us that we don't get consulted about. That they get into power and they just do these things and take no notice of any of our concerns. There are so many bizarre things happening now with digital ID, artificial intelligence, things that are just transforming our lives, and we have no say in this. And we have to start demanding a conversation on this.
Well, I think there's two points there too. One is there's a plethora of things being visited upon the population at large. But secondly, right from day one, you can go back to March 2020 if we must, we've had no quality or any incisive journalism. It's just all been wiped up. It's gone. You were talking about that fellow Crabb with his duplicitous circumstances, and yet did the journalist say, hang on, Mr. Crabb, you've got a conflict of interest here? Does not happen. No. Does not happen. So,
well, I saw it was Laura Tingle.
Right.
And I'm not sure if I saw the whole clip, but I don't recall there was any disclosure of conflicts of interest. And this is the ABC is absolutely terrible. That is a taxpayer-funded broadcaster that should be working on our behalf, and it has just been a propaganda machine throughout COVID, pushing the jabs. Now, it's very interesting to consider that Ita Buttrose is the chairperson of the ABC, and she was a personal pick of Scott Morrison.
Correct.
And there was supposed to be an independent process and what have you, but apparently that can get just wiped aside, and she was picked. So Ita Buttrose has previously been an editor of the Daily Telegraph and the Sunday Telegraph, which are Murdoch papers.
Yep.
And, of course, you know I go on endlessly about the Murdoch organisation having massive conflicts of interest in that it's a corporate partner with the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, which is involved in vaccines, which is involved in COVID vaccine research with the Doherty Institute.
Yep.
And so here we have the ABC chaired by the Ita Buttrose. And she personally endorses the jabs herself and pushes the jabs.
And you mentioned, does she actually stand up on television and say, get jabbed or have a Pfizer injection?
Yeah, she's a promoter. She was a promoter of the jabs herself. And she's recently been on the commercial television in an actual Pfizer ad. This isn't like a government ad. Actually, Pfizer, the company Pfizer, promoting the antivirals. This is incredible that somebody in that position can be involved with a pharmaceutical company promoting a medical product. What is going on with the ABC that has sunk to this? They should be giving us critical analysis. They should have been all the way through. We've had no critical analysis with the mainstream media at all. They have been an absolute propaganda machine. And I'm wondering if there is some sort of arrangement with the government in England. Ofcom is an organisation which has been controlling the media and making sure they don't say anything out of tune. It's almost like we're at war here and the media has to be on side against the virus, which is the virus. You know, that's the sort of impression you're sort of getting. But, of course, the media itself is corporations and they've got conflicts of interest, like the Murdoch media has got conflicts of interest.
Yep.
So there's all of this stuff that the general public has no clue about. And, of course, the general public has been such a major player in all of this, in participating in all of this, that they've been taken in by all the lies because they've been bombarded with it by the mainstream media. They're getting it from politicians, from health officers, from professors and doctors' organisations like the AMA. That it's just bombarded with it. How could they possibly question things when they're getting that nonstop? And so they are part of the problem in that they're complying with everything because they haven't got the alternative information, unless they're people like us.
Exactly.
What
astounds me, though, is I know a lot of people like us I really do. Maybe I talk to them and change their perception on what's happening to them. I don't know if that's happening, and probably in your sphere. Some people think I'm a bit of a nutter, but I know I'm not. And you have all this information that I'm aware of. I have a lot of information of people who are pretty close to me that have been jabbed, or they're someone I know whose uncle or father or brother, 50-odd years old, died, got jabbed and died. Now, there's a lot of that out there. So why people aren't starting to question all the rubbish that's been foisted upon them, but I just think there is a non-connection between cause and the effects of it, and people aren't grasping. And the other thing I said to someone the other day, I think the Australian population at large are fairly, we tend to obey the law. And that's not doing us any good anymore. It's almost as though we've got to, you know, get the size out and attack a few people and say, I'm sorry, we're not taking any more notice of you.
Well, I think it's complicated in that, you know, somebody said to me recently that if they hadn't put the mandates in place, probably a lot of Australians wouldn't have been jabbed.
Mm.
And it's almost like they had to put the mandates in place to make these people get jabbed because they wouldn't have otherwise.
No.
And then the way they couched this was that, oh, you've got to do it for the good of everybody else. Yeah. So it was playing on people that way, you know, that they were being seduced and that it's for the good of everybody else. So this is the problem, in that when you've had people being misinformed, and this is the misinformation and disinformation that's been coming from the authorities.
It started with our federal government, and then it went back into the states and the state parliaments through their chief medical officers or whatever they call them. That's where it welled up initially. But then we come back to the pharmaceuticals, and my understanding is that one of the guardians of medicines in Australia is the Therapeutic Goods Association. They take most of their money from the pharmaceutical corporations.
That's right.
That seems
to be. The public doesn't know this.
No, I accept that. That's why I'm mentioning it.
They don't know that ARPA is gagging the doctors, because they're not being told by the media.
No.
The media is supposed to be the fourth estate. The media, you know, ideally is supposed to be the fourth estate, bringing governments to account, shining a light in dark corners.
Yep.
The mainstream media, this is probably an ideal, maybe it never has been that way, but they're definitely not doing that. And the media is often corporations. It's News Corp. It's yep. Nine Entertainment, which is chaired by Peter Costello, who's involved with the Future Fund. So that is a conflict of interest as well.
Correct.
And so we're relying on TND radio and other alternative media to try and get this information out there, and many people don't know you. So
it's a big issue, but at the same time, if we keep talking, and I was amazed, I think it was 3 million podcast downloads the other day, it's probably heading towards 4 million now, that's starting to, you know, there is a trickle effect. And if I tell, it's the old story, if a restaurant tells me it's good, no one takes any notice. But if you tell me it's good and I go and it is good, I tell 10 others. And that's about the process, I think, that if we want to call ourselves freedom stations or freedom press or whatever it is, alerting the world to how they've been misled. There is a hope, but it's got to keep going. You can't stop. And you're making the point early on today. We've got to go back to the start and reiterate where it all went wrong and why it went wrong. I saw something you were talking about with a gentleman by the name of, what was his name? Gus Dalgleish.
Yes.
Now, he was an advocate for getting jabbed early doors, and he's had a bit of a change of heart.
Well, the situation with Gus Dalgleish is, I first wrote to Gus Dalgleish. He's a professor of oncology.
Mm-hmm.
At the University of London, I think it is. And I wrote to him first in 2009, when I started down on this journey with pet vaccination and had no idea what laid ahead. I contacted him because I was interested in pet vaccines and whether they could be causing cancer in pets, this regular vaccinating of dogs and cats every year with vaccines. And I contacted him, and he came back to me. He was very nice, very pleasant, came back to me, responded, said he was interested himself. He had a dog himself. And so that was when I first made contact with him. And then when this whole debacle started, and I was looking at the Great Barrington Declaration, I noticed that he was a signatory, and he would be quite high up in the list because he was sort of quite a high profile person. So I started writing to him and started including him on this. You've seen my what I do with these emails. I write to people like Neil Ferguson, Andrew Pollard, AstraZeneca vaccine, Patrick Vallance. That's what I've been doing to sort of challenge these people. And I added him to the list. So he was added to the list. And then not long ago, I wrote to Cameron Abbasi, who is the editor-in-chief of the British Medical Journal.
Mm.
And I was sort of pleading with him, informed consent. It's a medical ethical disaster that this isn't being properly, you know, done. Well,
it's been thrown in the bin.
Yeah, but so I wrote to him and I copied in all of these people. And then Gus, and he's done this before on other emails, he stepped up and he said, I fully support Elizabeth Hart. And then he said that this vaccine program should stop, that it's not necessary anymore. And then he started giving some anecdotal evidence that he has been seeing with patients experiencing cancer coming back after boosters.
Yep.
So this was in this email. So as a consequence, this email was in response to me and Cameron Abbasi, and it was also sent to all these other people. And as a consequence of this, his email was published on a website called The Daily Skeptic in the UK, which was, we started off as Lockdown Skeptics. You're probably familiar with it, when it was Toby Young.
I have to plead ignorance, I'm not. But
it's quite well known in the UK. It was running through COVID. So this is like a sort of another alternative website. And it was also on The Conservative Woman, which is another one of these websites in the UK. It was also published there. So they ended up publishing his email response to me and Cameron Abbasi was published. But what happened was the first line of his email was taken out. I fully support Elizabeth Hart. That got taken out. And so then all of a sudden the email became about the cancer. That became the major issue, that the boosters might be, you know, causing cancer in older people and what have you. The informed consent issue, raising that, got wiped away. Mm. And I wasn't happy about that. So I wrote to the Daily Skeptic about that and saying, you know, this was my email actually that he was responding to. And you sort of dropped this whole informed consent thing is just being wiped away. You know, of course it's very serious if the boosters might be causing cancer. And don't forget, this is anecdotal. But
I think it's pretty right.
but we have to work with evidence here. But I said the big issue that has been brushed aside here is that billions of people in the world have been coerced into having unnecessary medical interventions.
Yep.
This is a major political issue. And this isn't just medical, this is political, because COVID and the injections, the COVID needles, are the most potent weapon that has ever been unleashed on humankind, because it's been used to control people. So put aside for a moment the adverse events. Just put that aside. That COVID and the COVID needles have been used to control people. We've been locked up until these needles were available. And now we've been made to have these needles on the demand of the government. Whenever they say you're going to have needles, when we've had Bill Gates here, meeting up with Albo, saying, oh, you know, then we're planning the next pandemic, it's going to be man-made, it's going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. Setting it all up that people are going to be lined up for these jabs when the Moderna factory has been set up in Melbourne and also in Canada. They are just setting us up to be exploited. And they're stealing our personal autonomy and our bodily integrity. They're stealing our freedom. This is what people don't realize that has happened over the past 3 years. We're no longer a free people. We're in a dictatorship.
Mm.
We are shut down. We are silenced. You know, look how difficult it is to speak about this stuff. I can speak about it freely with you. I try and leave comments on The Australian, the Murdoch Australian. Some will get published. I have to fight with the moderators to get comments published. Most of them are deleted. God only knows how many comments are deleted. They're controlling the narrative. There Correct. Could very well be masses of people out there who are disgruntled by the whole setup, but they're not publishing it. They're controlling the narrative, and they'll publish some info as controlled opposition, but they're controlling everything. Look at all the protests that were held around Australia. Oh. I went to these protests and I spoke at these protests. I know how many people turned up.
Just on that point, coverage. Was it hundreds of thousands?
Well, in Adelaide, it wasn't 100,000. It was a lot of people, 10,000 people on the street, say, in a city like Adelaide, they closed North Terrace for us to walk through. We walked through the city. They had to close the streets. It was major in a you know, sleepy, pleasant little town like Adelaide.
Correct.
To get all these people, and they were just ordinary people. They weren't, you know, families, children. People were out there on the streets, people who wanted the right to be able to control what goes into their own body. Nothing was broadcast on, you know, Channel 7. These television stations are as traitorous as far as I'm concerned.
Mm,
and those talking heads were on those news programs, and the fact that they just ignored all this stuff, it was just disgusted by the whole thing.
Right. So that's what we know. And what we know is no one's being heard or not heard very well. There's no integrity from what I can see in any of the journalistic operators. They just don't ask any questions. I get the impression they're a bit like the medical profession and the doctors. They're terrified of being sacked or set aside in their income streams. They've got nowhere to go. I think we'll have to go to another little break, and then we'll come back and keep rolling through the chaos that we're seeing and how we might be able to do something about it.
Come back to the medical profession.
Come back to the medical profession. I'll be there in a moment. Cheers.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Australian researcher Bevan Dockery, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, has asked me to distribute this. Actually, he's asked a bunch of us to distribute this. All I could do is distribute a small part of it here. Fact is that 99% of the radiation absorbed by atmospheric CO2 is in the 15 micron wavelength band, micron being 1/1,000,000th of a meter in length. This equates to the lower end of the cold, far infrared spectrum with a frequency of 20.02 terahertz and a photon energy of 1.33 times 10 to the minus 20th joules. It coincides with peak radiation from a source at minus 80 degrees C, the minimum temperature occasionally reached in Antarctica. So when you take all this into account, and there's a lot more that he has put out here, how is it that CO2 is causing planetary warming? The answer is, it's not. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog, meteorologist Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The conversation continues.
It's ridiculous what we've allowed this group of politicians to lead us.
What the hell's going on in our country?
This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And I'm Richard Carson, politically incorrect by name and by nature. I have with me Elizabeth Hart, and just before we ducked off to the break, she said, come back to the medical profession. I don't know that we've got a medical profession. We've got a lot of scared cats and rabbits out there. Elizabeth, give me your observation on where it's all going wrong.
Well, gosh, the medical profession, that's where it's really gone wrong. If they had stood up and said at the beginning, you can't do mandates, you can't do it. But you've got to get in 4%. But they didn't do it. I'm so gobsmacked by what's gone on with the medical profession, I can't tell you. I've been writing letters to the doctors' organisations and to ARPRA for over a year and a half, before the mandates came in as well,
right,
saying, arguing about informed consent. And it's on the record, copied to lots of people. You've probably seen them.
Yeah,
you would have seen
them.
You know, so you know what I've done. And over and over again, I've said, informed consent. I got a letter out of ARPRA. I can't believe it now. Well, you know what ARPRA's like. I actually got a letter out of ARPRA over a year ago, where they confirmed to me that practitioners, yes, they have to get informed consent. But at the same time, they were saying to the practitioners, don't question the rollout or you're toast. So it's just like the gaslighting. It's just so confusing. And writing Australian Medical Association, absolutely dire. For a major time, Omar Khorshid was the president of that organisation. And he's a knee and hip doctor. And he was out there preaching and carrying on about everybody had to have the jabs. It's been absolutely gobsmacking to see how these people have just completely lost sight of their ethical duty to get informed consent before a medical intervention. Everybody bought into this idea of the vaccine being a solution to this virus. And as you say, Ted has pointed out, no.
Doesn't work
in the arm. But, well, who knew? And how come this wasn't well known already? Why wasn't that out there already? Why weren't people like Robert Clancy saying this a long time ago? Robert Clancy was pushing the jabs. He's lately done a bit of a turnaround like Gus Dalgleish. Yeah. But he was pushing the jabs. And now he's saying totally different story. And yet this is an expert. These experts, we have to sort of really go back to these experts and see what the heck is going on here. Because it's coming out now that we don't seem to have any real experts who know anything about this stuff. They don't really know anything.
That's a position you could take. I've got to think that they do know that they've been too gutless to stand up. You can't have had the training and the background of what, you know, the gentleman you just mentioned. You can't have had all that and not know that a jab in the arm isn't going to fix your immunomucosal system. Hasn't, can't, won't, and doesn't. Now, that's it, full stop. So no matter what Gates or anyone else wants to reintroduce, unless they bring it in as an atomizer delivered orally and nasally, you can forget it.
No, but how about we just forget it altogether?
Yeah, I agree. No argument.
System, you know? They should have taken steps to protect people who need to. These respiratory diseases are around all the time. Correct. They should have been taking steps. Instead of stopping treatment altogether for people, which is just unbelievable. This stuff is everything's unbelievable. It's incredible. We look back on it now. That's why when we look back, we say this is unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened before over the whole world. Everybody lost their minds. And people were blindsided at the beginning. You see, that's what happened. People were blindsided. They've been sort of set up for this, like by movies like Contagion and what have you. Mm. And everybody was shocked. They've been set up for this. Oh, there's a deadly virus. Nobody's immune. There was a Simpsons episode that did this in 2010. It's brilliant. You just watch this. It's over about 2 minutes. And it's actually laid out. They've got the people sitting around the table. What are we going to do? What sort of crisis are we going to foist on everybody? Oh, a virus. Nobody's immune. And it seems to be like it was set up and everybody's fallen for it.
Not everyone did. I mean, I know a lot who didn't. Yeah.
But a lot of people did.
I appreciate that.
Do you think at the beginning when they were saying you can't go out with anybody, only two people can walk out together? I'm not beating my own drum here, but seriously, I knew from the beginning this was a beat up because I've been following this for 14 years. Exactly. I've seen them do this over and over again with other things. But they tried it with Ebola. Ebola was a big scare a couple of years ago, huge, and then all of a sudden, poof, went away.
Didn't work.
And then it was Zika. Woo, scary. Poof, went away. And then they did it with this. They had swine flu. You know, then they've done it this, and it's like they thought, oh my god, let's just go for it, and they've gone for it. But it was just the same as the others. There was no real basis to this. But they've gone for it.
I think I will digress a little here where I'm well aware that there was a virus coming around, and I think we've got flu virus and cold viruses always happening, and there was a serious outbreak of a virus coming into our everyday breathing structure, and they were able to then push on that. But as Ted Steele tells me, in no uncertain terms, we could have easily managed it. No need to jab anyone. Look after the, as he calls them, comorbid, vulnerable people, probably 75 to 95 years old. Look after those and the rest of us get on with our lives. That's it.
Why was this automatic decision on a vaccine solution? This is what we've got to question. Why did this happen?
Why did this happen?
This is what's caused the catastrophe. It's because there's a group within public health now that dominate this area. They've been planning this for years. There's people who've been planning the pandemic industry for years. I'll give you an example. In 2006, there was a WHO report was published, and it was about preparing for the pandemics. And you know these seasonal flu vaccines that we get every year?
Yeah.
You know what they're for? They're really about making sure the infrastructure was in place so when the deadly pandemic comes, that everything was in place for this. So this is what they just created, this whole thing. When you really look at all of this, it's been created. You think of all the people in universities who are working on this sort of areas of research. It's massive. After September 11, massive amounts of money went into this research in the US. And now we know with Fauci that it's become a massive empire. They've taken in all this research money. You look at that gain of function work. That came out in 2011. That was it was particularly Ronald Fauci's study. It came out in 2011. He announced at an ESWI conference, which is sort of like an industry, flu industry conference. He announced at that conference, we've mutated the hell out of H5N1. This is where the gain of function came from. And that work was funded by Fauci, NIH. So they were trying to make H5N1 more transmissible, and they were pushing it through ferrets. So this is what he does. He announces this, and it was reported in Scientific American. That's where I came across it. So I started following this pretty avidly. And I ended up writing a couple of letters to the authorities on this in the US saying, isn't this contravening the Biological Weapons Convention? You know, and it's the US. We're sort of all taught to be worried about that time Iran and what have you. And here's the US trying to make viruses more deadly, you know. So I followed this quite avidly, and there was a moratorium on the work. It was originally called dual usage, and then they came up with this gain of function term. But you know what is really interesting? That at the end of that episode, Fauci turned around and said, oh, it wasn't deadly after all. Now, think about that. Think about what was the motive for them to be beating up the fact that this thing could be deadly, beating it up for the vaccine industry. And what's COVID? COVID was beaten up as deadly, but it wasn't deadly after all either. No. Now we've got this stuff happening with this Pfizer stuff happening. What's it called? Directed evolution or whatever they've come out with recently. They're talking about they're mutating the virus themselves. Is this all another beat up to get people scared about there they are at Pfizer beating up? Because just remember what Fauci said. Oh, it wasn't deadly after all. That is this all a complete beat up, all these viruses being this deadly? We need to start asking these questions. That we've got this idea from the movies that the viruses are deadly, but viruses, whatever you want to call them, and there are some people who say there isn't a virus. I'm sort of very confused about all of this sort of stuff now. But what I'm finding, because I've been investigating vaccine policy for 14 years, what I'm finding and what I'm pushing now on the back of COVID is that there are a lot of vaccine products on the schedule for diseases that are not a major problem for most people. This is what we've got to look at, that they have been putting vaccine products out into the community, beating up disease risk, and it has not been justifiable. And the ones I'm specifically looking at here are flu and HPV, meningococcal B, which is on the schedule in the UK, and they've desperately tried to get it on the schedule here, hepatitis B. Hepatitis B, why is that given to children, hepatitis B vaccine? And a lot of these vaccines have got aluminium adjuvants in them. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about aluminium adjuvants. That's put in there to create an inflammatory response. And in recent years, children are getting an awful lot more aluminium adjuvanted vaccines. They're getting a lot of revaccinations. So this original idea of, oh, just a bit of virus or just a bit of bacteria or whatever, and you'll be immune. No, that's out the window. Now you have to have it over and over again. And now this has reached its apex with COVID, as in line up every 3 months. I mean, it's completely mad.
I think I found a paper, and I don't know where it came from, infant mortality rates regressed against the number of vaccine doses routinely given. And the countries they talk about, it's quite an in-depth paper. I haven't read it, so I'll be honest about that. But a quick scan of it was what you're touching on here with children and everything else. Malnutrition is a fairly serious problem for a lot of the world, and their immune systems of people suffering from malnutrition are at a low ebb. However, the worst results with children are in the very well-structured countries like Austria, Monaco, Netherlands. The worst two, Canada, Australia, and United States. Mm-hmm. Now, this paper, I think, was put together, started in about 2011. You're probably aware of it, Neil Miller and Gary Goldman. I don't know if you are. Yeah. Okay. It's quite an in-depth piece of paper here, but what they're saying is we're jabbing our children to death.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. Why are they getting, you should be promoting health. You should be promoting health of the body. What we're doing is injecting poisons.
Yeah.
And now this is pretty radical. Oh, people will be saying, oh, my God, she's an anti-vaxxer. Well, you know what? I started off doing this with the pet vaxxers, and my angle was over vaccination. But I've been doing this for 14 years now. And I said, over this time, I've been moving across. And now the way I describe myself is a vaccine skeptic.
Yeah, I think that's
And I won't say anti-vaxxer, because the thing is, we have to handle this responsibly.
Correct.
We've got a situation now where there is an immunization schedule and children are getting a lot of jabs. So I'm not advocating that all of a sudden you just stop doing that. Because what I'm advocating is that we have to stop and look at this. We have to stop and look at this schedule that has just been growing and growing and growing. The medical profession has failed to question this, question this ever-increasing schedule. They've just, public health are handling this, and they just become the clinicians that are sticking the needles in. That people haven't been, because people have been suppressed, people have been threatened. Andrew Wakefield is the poster boy for what happens to people who question vaccines. So they're scared to question things. And so now you've got a scared profession. This is that, and they're compliant, will do as they're told. They won't, even for themselves, they're mandated to get more jabs than just the COVID jabs. And they just are compliant and get them. If you've got a compliant medical profession, you're in a very dangerous situation, because they're not able to call things out or be whistleblowers. That's the situation that we're in now. So it's really, really serious. And so what I'm calling for is we need an examination of the schedule, because it is steeped in conflicts of interest. The pharmaceutical industry has just hijacked this. The people who are on the committees that make these decisions, these professors and doctors and what have you, often they've got links with industry. Yeah. And there must be transparency. That's what I've been fighting for years, and other people like Judy Weilerman. You know, this is what we've been fighting for, transparency. And it's COVID is now bringing this to a head, that we've got to look at this, because we're injecting all sorts of substances. And this is not crazy talk. Aluminium, fetal bovine serum in the MMR. This is not simplistic, just a little bit of virus or bacteria. There's other stuff being injected. And we have to question this now. It's really, really, really serious with this. With children now getting these COVID jabs. In Australia, 1.8 million children, according to the government statistics, which of course are, you know, totally unreliable, but according to their statistics, 1.8 million children have one dose. Oh, sorry, two doses. And 2 million have had one dose. And so children should never have had the jabs at all. But by having these jabs, what has that done to them now? Has that compromised their own natural immunity?
That would be my take. Well, I would think it would have compromised their, you know, their growing immune system and their growing...
It's crazy. Capacity.
Well, it's criminal. I don't think it's just straight out criminal behaviour. Sorry. And those responsible should be before the courts. No ifs or buts. My great concern there is, are the courts good enough to do something about it?
Well, the courts are absolutely shocking, because the courts...
Well, they're washing their hands on this. No.
Because the courts will only follow what the government is saying. They're not going to go against the scientists, are they? So it's these scientists that have to be put on trial in the court of public opinion. We have to question these people who have been dominating the narrative. People like Raina McIntyre and Brendan Crabb and what have you. And say, who are you people? What are your conflicts of interest? This is what needs to get out there, because we've been told lies by the government. They have beaten up this disease. I'm not saying there isn't a disease, and there's respiratory viruses every year.
Yep.
But this vaccine solution, which was imposed on everybody and not been mandates, I can't tell you how shocking that is in a supposed free country to mandate medical interventions, to threaten people, you will lose your livelihood, you will be banned from society. Daniel Andrews, vaccine economy. That's what he had. He had it that so nobody could participate in society if he weren't jabbed. The threats. Mm. People thought they were cornered. What were they going to do? They were cornered.
We know enough people who succumbed to that particular, you know, aggressive approach.
And why shouldn't they? They should never have been put in that position.
Well, they shouldn't have been put in it. But most people I'm aware of, when they couldn't go to have lunch with their friends or couldn't see their families, they said, bugger it, we'll get jabbed. And that is just the greatest crime of all time. There's no ifs or buts about it.
In South Australia, the health, again, in inverted commas, the health officer here, Nicola Spurrier, at Christmas 2021, I think it was, she announced how she would not have an unvaccinated person in her house. Mm. She was promoting dissent and disharmony in families. I can't tell you how dreadful that woman is, that she would do that.
Yeah,
it's what the damage they've done. really. And they should never have had this. They should never have been this vaccine response to this thing. They should have handled it in a totally different way, because most people did not need these injections. And they knew already the injections don't work in the elderly. This was announced. This was came out the Lords Committee in June 2020. They know vaccines don't work in the elderly, so the target audience wasn't going to work in them, and they gave it to a whole lot of people it wasn't necessary for. The whole response was a disaster, a manufactured disaster, and people need to be brought to account for it now.
So we've got to wash up and finish this little dissertation. But we'll take the message that we've got to go and attack back in the from the start to the finish.
Yeah, we need to get on the front foot with this.
Yeah, and
try. Implored so much.
Yeah, no, definite. And we and you and all the others like you have to keep burrowing away to expose the criminality that's been foisted on us. So, Elizabeth, today, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for the invitation.
No, we love it. And we'll catch you again, no doubt, in the very near future as we soldier on. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.